most of your Walt Disney World vacation.
The top six interactive queues at the Magic Kingdom. Hi, I'm Herb Leibacher, and welcome to episode number 23 of the World of Walt podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation for the week of May 31st, 2015. This is the podcast for Walt Disney World fans, whether you're planning your next trip or just enjoy reliving a little bit of Disney magic. Before we get into the topic for today, please stick around until the end of the show. I've got some information on how we can stay in touch and some important details on how you can win a great prize just for listening. At Walt Disney World, everything contributes to the story. Whether it's the architecture or the landscaping, the animatronics or the cast member costumes, everything comes together to help transport you to a different time and place and take you into a 3D story that unfolds all around you. This applies to the queues as well. While none of us really likes to wait in line, Disney makes it as painless as possible by making sure the queues are really setting up part of the story. In fact, many people refer to the queues at Walt Disney World as the first scene of a three-act play, with the other two scenes being the attraction itself and then the exit experience. In the past few years, Disney has invested heavily in improving the queues, especially at the Magic Kingdom, and in making many of them interactive. Today, we're going to look at the top six interactive queues at the Magic Kingdom. To help me explore this topic, I'd like to welcome someone who had a life goal to be a Jungle Cruise skipper, Aaron Cohen. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. That is absolutely true. That is my bizarre life goal.
So do you have a good hat, and have you been working on your punny lines?
You know, my wife's the pun slinger. I'm not as much, but and you know, if I were to go back down there and go work there again, I would probably be somewhere else. I mean, my training's in other areas, but you know, it's just there's something about that attraction and just, you know, driving the boat and giving the funny spiels that if I had the opportunity, I would have to take it.
That would be a great job, and I am always impressed by the skippers that I encounter, even if the crowd on the boat is sort of sitting there like bumps on logs and not really getting it, or maybe not even understanding the language. The skippers still seem to give it their all, and that makes that attraction very special.
Oh yeah, I've had some great skippers. You know, they're all good in their own way. What's cool is they all kind of put their own personality and their own spin on it. So you can go on it, you know, one day and have someone who kind of does the spiel a certain way, and then go out the next day and someone, it's the same lines, it's the same words, but the way they deliver it is very different, and the physicality is different, and it's almost like a slightly different ride every time you go on, and that's really, really kind of fun.
You're right. I know that the script is pretty tight, and it seems like most of the skippers follow it, but the delivery can be very different. It can be very dry. It can be very outrageous, and so, yeah, it is a little bit of a different experience every time. All right, good. Well, before we get into the topic for today, we will start with our traditional warm-up question. It's easy. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, here it is. World of Disney or the Emporium?
Ooh. You know, I'm going to have to say World of Disney on this one.
Tell me about it.
Well, for a couple, they're both great stores. You can find, in both cases, you can find just such a huge array of Disney merchandise. But World of Disney etches it out to me for a couple things. First one is it actually is a little bigger, so you're going to find more departments and some more merchandise. Emporium's really big, but I just feel like World of Disney is a larger space, and therefore just has more product. And you can get to World of Disney without going into the parks. If you're, you know, last day of your trip and you're all set with the parks, you've got a couple hours before you need to fly out, which I've done. I generally try to fly out in the evenings to spend that every possible moment I can down there before I have to come home. And often we'll go to Downtown Disney in the morning to kind of kill some time and do some last-minute shopping and grab lunch before we head to the airport. So we can go into World of Disney without having to go into a park. So I feel that just for that, it kind of edges it out for me.
You know, I think you make some good points. I debated this one in my head because I think the Emporium is a tremendous store. It's got a big selection. It's got one of the most primo places on property. It's got an amazing turn of the century Victorian feel to it. All wonderful things about the Emporium. But if I had to pick, I would also probably pick the World of Disney. I agree that it's bigger. You know, if you want it and they don't have it, you probably don't need it. They've got just about everything except for very specific attraction or resort items, which are only available in select spots. And your point about not having to pay to get in is a really good one, too. So if you have a first half day or a last half day and some time to spend, that's a great place to do it. Let's dive into our topic for today, the top six interactive queues at Walt Disney World. Aaron, over to you for number one.
All right. So the first one is one of my favorite rides on Walt Disney World property. I once rode it 13 times in one day, just to give you an idea of how much I love it. And it's just decoration, clothing, everything. And that's the Haunted Mansion. And they put this queue in a few years ago. And you actually don't need to go through the queue for Haunted Mansion. In most other attractions, you do. In the Haunted Mansion, you can technically skip it, but I don't see why you would do that. And it's just it's a walk through the graveyard in front of the mansion. And you've got headstones, you've got busts of various spirits that now walk the halls of the Haunted Mansion. You've got a pipe organ, which is a stone-looking carving, essentially, a statue, but when you touch the keys, it makes music. That's actually on a wall where when you touch the different instruments that are carved into the wall, you hear music from that instrument. You've got a crypt of the sea captain that squirts water. You've got a cool book behind a cage thing that's a poem book that there's a disembodied voice that will ask you to give you the next word of the give the next word of the poem, and you have to yell it into a microphone, and it translates onto the book. There's a lot of fun things in it, and it's a great way to kind of wander through. There's a lot of little hidden secrets in there as well if you're eagle-eyed and really paying attention. It moves quickly. You know, you can stop and touch things and play with them for as long as you want. You can kind of do it in passing. You can stop and spend more time with them. The line itself kind of gets a little less line-like through this area, and it kind of reforms again at the other end of the queue. It's a lot of fun, and I think it's a great kind of warm-up to the goofy spookiness that Haunted Mansion itself, you know, is gonna give you as an experience.
Good choice. I'd like to think that a lot of the Imagineers at Walt Disney World are probably fans as well, and it seems like the Haunted Mansion gets a lot of Imagineering love with updates and refreshes, and that's true of the queue, and I think they really hit it out of the park when it comes to the queue there. It's one where, like you said, you can spend just a few seconds while you're still in motion walking by, interacting with some of the items, or you can take some time to try to read all the busts and unlock the puzzle or solve the poetry. So I think that's something that they did especially well in the interactive queue elements, that it can be something very quick. It can be something that you can linger and spend more time. And it's a great introduction to the story that's about to happen as well.
What's really cool about it too is, and almost more so than some of the other interactive queues that I've come across, is there's a lot of what's called Easter eggs in the interactive queue. And that's kind of little hidden secrets. For example, most of the headstones that you're going to see, the names on them actually are the names of Imagineers, in some cases the original Imagineers that worked on the attraction, that originally designed it. You know, you're going to find a lot of just little weird inside things from the history of the attraction have been incorporated into the queue itself. So if you're a huge fan of the attraction like I am, or a huge fan of Disney lore, or just really into finding these little secrets, there's a lot in the queue that you can actually find that, or, you know, if it's not your thing and you don't know, you don't care, you can just have fun playing with the pipe organ and keep going. So it really is kind of a very multi-level experience.
Yeah, that is a good point. And I love it when Disney puts those extra levels of depth in something where if you are a big fan, there's a payoff for you. But if you're not a big fan, you can still get it and enjoy at a different level.
Exactly.
Good. All right. Haunted Mansion for number one. So number two is over to me. I am going to head to the opposite side of the park and go to Tomorrowland and a very long hallway that leads into the heart of Space Mountain. I think that The addition of the short play video games that Disney added a few years ago to Space Mountain was a great change to that attraction. The hallway, I thought, was it really did set up what you were about to see. You felt like you were going into a different time and place. You got to see the star fields go by and the space stations go by. But it was just a very long, straight hallway. And when attraction times, or when the wait time gets long, you know, it's good that you're inside. It's good that you're in the air conditioning. It's good that you're in a cool, dark spot. But it was just a big, long hallway. And so I think with the addition of the interactive games, it really helps that time to go a lot faster. And the fact that they designed the game so it's very easy to pick up. You don't need to read a whole lot of instructions. It's easy to play with a lot of people at the same time, and it's easy to accomplish the objective of the game in a short period of time so that you can then move on to the next point in the queue. I think they really did a nice job with the interactive elements in Space Mountain.
Yeah, definitely. And it's one of those things that it really does help pass the time, you know, even if you're just focusing on the game for 5 minutes. You know, it doesn't feel like 5 minutes has passed. Like, you're having fun, and then, you know, it's like, oh, hey, it's time to move up. Hey, we just, you know, it's 5 minutes later. And it really does a great job of just taking your mind off the fact that you're waiting in line.
Yeah, I agree. I really like the gaming element of it, and that it pulls you in quickly without a lot of need for instruction, and then you can move on. So, Space Mountain, number two. Good. Number three, back over to you, Aaron.
Number three. So, you know, this one has one of the longest lines on Walt Disney World property, especially in the Magic Kingdom, and that is Peter Pan's Flight. It's one of the classic older attractions. It's, you know, it's a great ride, but just for some reason it gets a huge, huge wait every day, upwards of an hour, even on days that you wouldn't think would be that busy. So it's really great that they actually added interactive elements to the queue. It really helps, you know, with that wait time. And this one, it's so much fun, and it's gorgeously designed, and you're basically going through the bedrooms of the kids, of the darling children, as you progress towards the ride itself, where you get on the galleon and actually fly through to Neverland. And there's projections with Tinkerbell, and there's things happening, and there's like shadows, you know, shadow play stuff happening. And it's a lot of fun, and it's really cool. And it was actually funny, you know, when I went on it a few months back, because here's a ride that has such a long line. You want to get the line as fast as possible. And then the day that I was there, the line wasn't that bad. We got there first thing in the morning, and I really wanted to stop and see these things more. And of course, the line is now moving, and it's going to be a short wait for the first time in who knows how long. And now I actually want to be in line longer, because there's so much to see, and there's so much to do. And, you know, you move your hand, and Tinkerbell suddenly flies out of something and flies across the room, and you know, you're moving your shadows, and it's really cool.
I agree. A lot of the elements that they added there are interactive, so the butterflies or the ringing of the bells, you can see the trail of Tinkerbell around, and I really like the job that they did where the queue now leads seamlessly into the story. So it looks like you're outside the darling's home, then you're inside the home, and then when you get into the load area, you are flying outside the window of the home. So I think not only is it interactive, but it's a tremendous meshing of the scene one seamlessly into the scene two of the attraction itself.
Agreed. Yeah, it really does just suck you to the story from the moment you get in line.
Yep, great one. All right, number four. I'm going to stay in Fantasyland and go over to The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. I think this queue is a hit with people who are waist high or lower. There are things to turn and bang on and jump on, and kids love it. Sometimes I've seen parents have to kind of drag their kid away from the queue because they're having so much fun in the queue itself. And, you know, maybe for not so great reasons, I think one of the most memorable interactive elements I've ever seen in a queue at the Magic Kingdom is the Wall of Honey, which is a very clever idea, big video screen where it looks like honey is pouring down. You can use your hands to sort of swipe it away. I also think that's probably the area with the highest number of germs per square inch in all of the park. It kind of freaks me out just a little bit, but it's a great, neat element, and you just can't walk by without playing with it and touching it. So Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of fun. And obviously, as an adult who's generally there without little kids, I don't necessarily stop at the, you know, some of the little toys along the way. I definitely see kids playing with them. And it, yeah, like you said, it's a great way to keep the kids occupied. Because, you know, adults, this is a generalization here, can often be more patient. They're going to look at the phones, and it's the kids that can get a little fidgety. So having something like that where they're playing with these, like this playground type thing is brilliant to have at the ride.
Yeah, I agree. They did a really nice job with that one as well. And they knew the people they needed to entertain in that ride, and they really hit it out of the park. All right, that was number four. So number five, over to you.
Number five. So for me, the next one is a newer attraction in New Fantasyland, and that is the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And in this queue, you're actually going through the mine as you get towards the mine cart. And again, it, like Peter Pan, it kind of brings you into the story from the moment you get into line. It really is that act one of this story, because you're starting in the mines, going through them, and then you get to the mine cart, and then you go through the mines towards the end. There's a lot of fun things that happen in this one. There's barrels of shining gems that you can spin, and they project onto the ceiling. There's colored water that you hold your hand under them. Different notes play. A lot of fun, just very kinetic, interactive things in this one that are a lot of fun. And again, this is another one that can often get a very long line. It is a newer attraction. It's a very popular attraction. So having stuff in there that is a lot of fun to play with is great, and a great way to take your mind off the fact that you're waiting in line.
I agree. It seems like this may be one of the first, I can't remember any other attractions where it was built with an interactive queue at the time of opening. Well, I guess Little Mermaid as well. But they've done a really nice job. The games or the things you do while you're waiting in the queue really fit in with the story. And the spinning barrels, even though that seems like a relatively simple effect, but the projection it makes, people just get, and me too, just get enthralled by that. It's like, wow, can I spin this and make that happen? That's great.
And I will say, and I'm not going to give away spoilers as to what happens, but if you can get all seven spinning projecting at once, something slightly different will happen.
Really?
Yes, there's seven barrels around each, like, station, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get all seven spinning, so basically, for those who haven't seen it, when the barrel's not spinning, it's projecting just the reflection of the gems on the ceiling. And if you start spinning it, if it gets fast enough, those gems change into a projection of one of the seven dwarves. And all I'll say is that if you can get all seven going at once to project the dwarves, there's more that happens.
I did not know this. All right, well, I'm going to have to see if I can encourage the crowd the next time I'm in there to make that happen. All right, good. Number five was Seven Dwarfs Mine Train Ride. Okay, number six is over to me. We're at the end of our list. I'm going to head over to Frontierland, and I am going on Big Thunder Mountain. I really like some of the interactive elements that Disney added recently. Something's as simple as a portrait, which actually ties into the story of Big Thunder Mountain, but also the new machines that they've added there that look like they're part of the mining process, like the Auto Canary, where you can look in and see a canary, which was always an early warning sign for miners. Or I'm not sure what this is called, but you spin the wheel and it makes a little animation. Really neat things that are exceptionally well themed, especially because they're all sitting outside, but it looks like they've been sitting outside for a long time, because that's what you get when you're in a mining location. And the design, the interactive elements, and just the unique nature of the items that they've added to Big Thunder Mountain, another home run in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. That one does tend to get a longer line, so having stuff like that is great. And a lot of fun things, you know, and just the fun kinetic things you can have your hands on and play with are always a hit in my book. And I think that was a great addition to that particular attraction.
Me too. All right, before we do a recap, any honorable mentions?
I do have one. And actually, we just mentioned this one, and that's the Journey of the Little Mermaid over New Fantasyland. And this one, what's cool about this one, so throughout the queue, there's props, scenery that look like nautical items, treasure chests, and diving helmets, stuff like that. And there'll be screens, little screens on each one. If you look at the screens, it's actually not super obvious unless you're looking for it. You can walk right by these props and not realize that they are, in fact, interactive. But if you look in these screens, For example, the face mask of a diving helmet. You'll see these little blue crabs projected inside, and there's items projected in there as well, like a fork or a spool of thread or something like that. If you point to an item, a crab's going to run over and grab the item and run off the screen. And then at the end of the queue, shortly before you get onto the car, right in the loading area, there's an animatronic scuttle, the seagull from the movie, who's basically interacting with these blue crabs who are coming to him and dropping the items off. So there's a payoff at the end. If you're playing throughout the queue, there's a payoff at the end for what you've done. And it's really fun. It's really cool. But it's definitely one of the more subtle uses of the interactivity, because a lot of people, when last time I was on it, walked right by, didn't even realize you could stop and see this thing. So it's definitely worth checking out, though.
Yeah, it is. And you're right. It really is very subtle. I've seen the same thing. A lot of people will walk by and not even know what's going, even though the crabs are there and occasionally they'll wave over to you to try to get your attention. It's easy to walk by and not see them. But the sort of game that the Imagineers invented and put into that queue, very clever and fits perfectly in with the theme.
Yeah, agreed.
Good. Well, I have one honorable mention, and it's also in New Fantasyland now, Dumbo. The idea of creating a play area and giving you a pager so the kids can go and blow off some steam while you are waiting is brilliant. It's one of those things where you see it and you say, why didn't they do that before? It's a great idea, and kids have, and older folks too, have a blast in that circus tent, just in a cool area where they can run up and down and enjoy the different levels to play on. I was actually just there yesterday, and I saw a little girl run away from her dad to go back to the queue. It was her time to run to ride on Dumbo, but she wanted to go back and play in the wait area because it was so much fun.
Yeah, it's really neat. It's really just a well-done implementation, because, like you said, the kids just want to play with that, and they even forget there's a ride to go on to after that.
Yep. Yeah, it's a good one. It will be interesting to see if the Imagineers at Walt Disney World decide to take that concept and maybe apply it in some new areas. So this idea of getting a pager and having a fun place to wait seems like a really smart idea. I wonder if we might see more of it.
Maybe, yeah. It's definitely a different type of wait scenario than, you know, Peter Pan, where you are constantly going forward in the line. You know, and yeah, you can start to play with the things like the bells, but you know, you're definitely going in a forward motion the whole time. So, you know, whereas this is going to play, and when it's your turn, they'll let you know. So it's definitely a different tactic to you know, distract you during the wait. So it's interesting to see which one they continue with. I mean, I'm sure they'll continue with both, but if one starts favoring over the other kind of thing.
Yeah, you're right. It will be interesting to see that in time. All right, good. The top six interactive cues at the Magic Kingdom. Number one, the Haunted Mansion. Number two, Space Mountain. Number three, Peter Pan. Number four, Winnie the Pooh. Number five, the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And number six, Big Thunder Mountain. Good list. Aaron, if people are interested in finding out what you're up to, how can they do that?
They can actually head over to my blog. My website is Magic and Misadventures. That is magicandmisadventures.com, all one word. And on that blog, I write about a little bit of everything. As long as it's something related to Walt Disney World, obviously. And sometimes I'm talking about specific attractions. Sometimes I'm just ranting about, you know, something I disagree with. Sometimes I'm giving travel advice. It's really just kind of whatever strikes my fancy at any of the time. I've also, from there, there's links to social media. I've got a Facebook page. I've got a Twitter feed. I've got an Instagram feed, all Disney-related. That you can check out. And actually, I went on kind of a photo safari type of thing. I think you used that term earlier, actually, of the Haunted Mansion queue. Just trying to delve into the secrets of some of the lesser-known Easter eggs, and I will be posting that this week, so check that out.
I am looking forward to it. I know you are a big fan of the Haunted Mansion, and I can't wait to see some of the hidden gems that you found and write about. So I'm going to head over to the site as well. All right. Great. Aaron, good list today. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Well, we've made it through the list of the top six interactive queues at the Magic Kingdom, but our conversation isn't over. I would love to hear what you think about the list. Do you have some ideas you'd like to add? You can do that. Check out our show notes page. I'd love to hear what you think. Visit the page at worldofwalt.com/23 or worldofwalt.com/best interactive queues. Both of those links go to the same spot, and it works great on tablets, desktops, and smartphones. Leave your comments in the comments section and check out what other folks think as well. If you enjoyed today's podcast, I would love it if you could rate and review it on iTunes. It's easy to follow. You can find some easy to follow instructions on how to do just that at worldofwalt.com/iTunes. If you thought today's podcast was a stinker, then no need to review it. And for everyone who has already left a review on iTunes, thank you very much. It's easy for us to stay in touch. Let me know what you think about today's show or just drop by and say hello. There are four ways to get in contact with me. Number one, send an email to me at info@worldofwalt.com. Number two, leave an online voicemail message for me at 407-391-5023. Number three, leave an online voicemail message for me at worldofwalt.com/voicemail. Or number four, check me out on social media. At Facebook, I'm at facebook.com/worldofwalt. And on Pinterest, I'm at pinterest.com/worldofwalt. I'd like to invite you to enter a very special contest open to the folks who listen to this podcast and check out the show notes page. Again, that show notes page is at worldofwalt.com/23. There you can win a $100 Disney gift card. It's easy to enter by checking out the simple directions on that page, and it's my way of saying thanks for listening. In wrapping up, I'd like to give you a heartfelt thank you for spending a bit of your time with me today. I'd also like to thank everyone who visits the worldofwalt.com website. On the site, you can read interesting Disney articles, enter sweepstakes for amazing Disney prizes, and chat with other folks who enjoy Disney in the forums and in the comments sections. By listening here and by visiting the site, you allow me to share the fun of Disney with you. And that's pretty cool. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Until next time, my friend, may God bless you.
So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day.